There we go. So I did have one follow-up question, though, to what we were talking about on the live episode, since we're now on the bonus content. So, you know, it kind of is basically reiterating the question that I'd said before. You know, so if somebody's sitting there putting in, you know, fractions, you know, $1 or $2 a day or a week or whatever the situation is, okay, cool. If they're putting it in now, you know, past performance predicts future, you know, whatever the fuck the end of the performance. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, but past performance says, well, last time it was this high, it crashed by, you know, down to 15. So if I'm putting in my coffee a day into here and then it crashes, well, what the hell, you know? So then how would you still convince somebody who knows the past to try to ignore that and think that it won't happen again?
Well, I think
I understand what you're saying a little bit ago about the pump and dump situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So this isn't like securities where, you know, there's anybody who's in charge. Mm-hmm. You literally had somebody dump, literally, you know, hundreds of thousands of Bitcoins into existence when it crashed, right? Like, they took a FOMO moment, and absolutely took the multiplier way out of it and then dumped even more supply into the situation. So the thing is what I would say is you're focusing on one very specific moment, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at Bitcoin over the years, there's always this growth period with a multiplier effect followed by a price adjustment period. That's basically, it's finding real price. You have FOMO, everybody comes in, speculators say, oh, this is it, and speculators sell. So you'll have FOMO again, it'll rise even higher than it did at the last peak, and then it'll dump. This continues to happen throughout Bitcoin since 2008. And so what you're seeing is basically speculators, you know, they come in, they're not looking for the long-term holdings, they're looking for the pump and dump situation so that they can have more fiat, which is a terrible idea. First and foremost, most of the time you're going to be ending up what they call chasing Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. But if you start to understand and zoom out where we're at now, you just have to zoom out like that. That's what I tell everybody, zoom out a little bit, because if you were that guy that sold here, mm-hmm. Well, now you miss this one here, and then you're going to miss this one here, and you're going to miss this one here, and you're going to miss this one. What's currently fascinating about this cycle, and we think it's really kind of a super cycle that's coming, is first and foremost that this is, we just experienced an all-time high before the halving. It's never happened before. That's pretty incredible. That's ETFs, you know, guaranteed. Those were not priced into the situation. Mm-hmm. Usually where you get the spikes is about 12 to 18 months after a halving, and we're still, you know, 13 months out from that. You know, and so we haven't even begun to see what's going to really happen. So as we keep going here, you know, we kind of want to look at history and show them like, hey, all right, look, let's look at something comparable. The only thing that's comparable to Bitcoin is gold. And, you know, it's still, you know, a poor, indicator, but let's just take it for example. The last time that a asset that hard got an ETF was 2004. It was gold got an ETF in 2004. Gold went on an 8-year bull run, mm-hmm. at that point. So you could be talking about, instead of these pump and dump cycles, right? You could be talking about a super cycle that goes on for more than 8 years, because now as we're moving into a new technology that the world has never seen before. And like, that's the thing is we don't know what's going to happen, but I know for a fact money chases, well, time and energy chase hard money.
Right.
Sound money is what Bitcoin is. So as more people start to learn it and get educated on it and start moving, and nation states start adopting it, like sovereign wealth funds, where you're talking trillions and trillions, possibly hundreds of trillions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Like, this gets to a different level very quickly. And that small investment, man, yeah, you might have some up and downs this week, next week, next year, probably not, but you're going to see if you're zoomed too close. Yeah. You'll see the ups and downs. If you zoom out.
And that makes sense, because, you know, back in 2017 or so, whenever the hype first started building, whenever I was working at a vitamin shop, I started looking into it, and that's when it first went from it went from like 10 or 12, and then that's when it started rising, and that's when everybody started talking about it a lot. Yeah. So I could definitely see, you know, if you look at the whole since 2008 or whatever you said, you know, it started out at basically nothing and then has been on basically on a steady incline ever since. My last question, I promise, then Jason can talk. Fuck, he hasn't even said a word all episode. Is you mentioned a second ago about working in the Bitcoin. What kind of opportunities are there at like an entry level? Somebody who hasn't had like, you know, it seemed like you had like a financial background or what have you after the military, but before you started working at Swan or whatever. But like, what kind of opportunities are there within there besides just like mining?
Yeah. I think mining is one of the best ways for somebody to get into Bitcoin, in terms of the industry. If you want to go out and learn how to network and how miners work and that whole industry, there's a ton of jobs that are opening up all around the planet for these things. It's going to take people who are first and foremost interested in it. If you're a Bitcoiner and you're beginning, it's a great way to spend your time. You know, you'll be working some, you know, pretty remote locations. You know, hopefully you got some earbuds or something like that where you're learning Bitcoin at the same time. You're using some practical application. It pays well, so you may actually have some extra money to invest in those kind of things. The best way, I think, you know, the starting blocks for getting a job in Bitcoin is learning Bitcoin and then becoming a Bitcoin maximalist. And that's the thing, is you're going to have to study. I mean, this is now you need to become the brains of your own bank. And at that point, obviously, you can start to, you know, feel around, but it's, yeah, there's obviously, it's a very tech heavy field, first and foremost, but there are jobs in marketing, there are jobs in sales, there are jobs in all of these things. And that's kind of the beautiful thing is, you know, Bitcoin doesn't necessarily have a marketing department or any of those other things, but if you can provide value or document Bitcoin even, right? Like, a lot of people document Bitcoin, and I say a lot. There's a handful of people that do it well. So if you're one of those people who's inclined to document the goodwill of others, the people who are breaking all sorts of, you know, technological, you know, code and you know, applying it to lives, or going over to Africa or down to the south, you know, the global south, with people who are now generating electricity for villages that have never had anything like that, while providing them, you know, internet at the same time, and now a way to trade that isn't in the dollar that's going to rob them. Like, these are amazing stories of people doing incredible things through charity all around the planet. And, you know, the story needs to be told. Like, it's there is things to do. It's, what do you want? What, like, what's your skill set? How can you apply it? Where will you grind? And realize that over time, if you're in this industry and you're saving in this financial form, in four years, your life is going to change. Like, mathematically, it has to change.
It's changed mine. It's changed mine for sure. Jason, do you have anything that you want to ask Shane?
No, not really. I kind of got my feet wet when it came to Dogecoin. Back when it was like 3 and 4 cents a coin, I started buying some of it. I think I spent like $20 on it, and kind of let it watch go up, and it's going up, and it was getting close to $1, and then it started tumbling. And when it got to 80 cents, I sold all of it. So it was awesome.
You went to Sizzler.
It was totally great for me. I mean, Elon Musk and Gene Simmons were promoting it and saying how much they were buying. From that, I kind of got bit by the crypto bug. So I started buying a little bit of Bitcoin, a little bit of Bitcoin Cash, and some Litecoin, some other stuff. But I think Bitcoin is the one that has showed the most that it is, it's here to stay and not a joke like Dogecoin is. I mean, Dogecoin, as we all know, was a joke.
Yeah.
At right. 13 cents still.
Yeah, it's still at 13 cents. So
it's not as low as when I started. I mean, when I started, it was 2 and 3 cents a coin.
Right. I kind of want to add one comment here, and it's for the whole panel. And we talk about freedom and liberty a lot on this podcast. In fact, that's one of the cruxes of our podcast. And lots of people are under the inklings that if you don't have guns, beans, and bullets, that you're not really for you know, freedom and liberty. But, you know, I don't care about the amount of guns and beans and bullets that you have. If you don't grab liberty and you don't grab freedom, because they're not going to give it back to you. And if you don't grab it and you don't keep it, you don't live it, you don't nurture it, you don't feed it, and you don't protect it, then you're not going to get it. And Bitcoin gives you that opportunity, I think, within yourselves to be able to have a custody right that you own yourself, that you are, that you have no one to blame if you lose your Bitcoin. And when you get into Bitcoin, you deserve the price that you get into Bitcoin. Like I said, you know, 3 years ago when I got into Bitcoin, I bought my first Bitcoin. I think it was at 61,000 right after you talked to me, and then it dumped. And I went like, damn it, this is what happens every time I buy something, it dumps. But but I stayed with it. You pulled me off of the freaking ceiling and you got me out into outer space to look at the Bitcoin from outer space instead of, you know, at the newspaper level. And I'm not sorry. And, you know, I've got my Bitcoin. Every time I buy it, I take it off of the exchanges and it's in my wallet and it's in my safe, and that's where it's going to be. And as far as the adoption and using it as currency, right now I don't have that mindset. I have that mindset right now that it's an investment in my children's future. And I think that's kind of where I want to leave it, you know, with my statement on Bitcoin. And use it that way. So I wanted to kind of clear that up with the panel, because they've heard me spout this before. Mm-hmm. I post stuff. We have our private thread that we go on, and we're bashing each other, pulling each other's balls all the time. Sure. You know, with all this stuff. So
I actually do have one question. I hear a lot of people say, don't keep your stuff on the exchange. What does that mean? I mean, I've bought some stuff off of Binance before, and a wallet? Or is that, if I keep stuff on Binance, is that keeping it on an exchange, or what is that?
Yeah. Anywhere you can make a trade, dollars for Bitcoin, that's an exchange. So whether it's Coin, Binance, or Kraken, or Coinbase, or any of these others, that's going to be considered an exchange. Taking it off an exchange and putting it into a cold storage device, signing device, cold wallet, whatever you want to call it, where you have seed words, that's the thing, is seed words are the differentiator. Those are 12 to 24 words that you and only you have. A lot of times you're going to stamp them into a steel or a titanium plate. They're going to go into a safe somewhere. And that way, if anything ever happens to that cold storage device, it's just a piece of plastic, you know, with some microchips in it. If anything ever happens to that, you can still recover all of your Bitcoin.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. That makes more sense, because everybody kept saying, well, take it off the exchange. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, it's like, what do you mean put it into a wallet? Is it hard? Okay, so then what do you – yeah, that's – maybe I need to check out your podcast, because that's where I got a lot of questions with that is like, what do you mean put on a cold wallet? Okay, that's just like a flash drive. Okay, I put these 12 words or whatever into a thing with this long form of code. Okay, how do I transfer it out from Cash App or Coinbase or whatever and put it into my, you know, all the questions.
All the practical application questions.
Right, yeah. Exactly, all the day-to-day,
I have enough knowledge where I can teach them all of that. They just have to open their ears and not bust my balls.
I listen to you, Bruce,
on the practicals. It's when you start getting to the dogma where I'm like, hey, look, I don't trust that.
Yeah. Okay. And you gotta be careful with dogma. I mean, you do. I mean, there are people out there that, you know, listen, there is some dogma, and in challenging it is the right thing to do. You know, go out and figure it out. Once you've gone through it and figured it out, then you'll be like, oh, that is interesting. Like that's an interesting concept. Like there are some things, you know, they describe Bitcoin as layer one technology, right? Like this is the base. But what's really interesting is, you know, when you take in the aspect that it's never talked about, the network is talked about, but people in Bitcoin, that's the real gem. Like I will tell you right now, like this community is hopeful, it's optimistic, it's working together, it's reinvesting in itself, and it's building, and it's super laser focused on freedom and liberty and self-sovereignty and making sure that individuals can't be robbed by the state. They're peaceful. They are anti-war. They are anti-big bankers. They are anti-big government. And like you start to realize, like, oh, holy shit. Like, these are some of the smartest people on earth who are working in concert faster than the government knows what to do with. Like, this is literally, the Fountainhead or, Ayn Rand in terms of, Gulch, like everybody who knows this is fucking like, I am fucking out of here. I'm going there. Right. Because if I can go there and they can't take my shit and they can't tax it and they can't, come pillage it, whatever it is, like you take a bunch of smart ass people who are the doers, the people who have the skin in the game that are saying, fuck off, we're not doing your stuff anymore. Like that is an amazingly powerful crowd. And now that they're decentralized around the world, working in real time against the really corrupt monsters, layer zero is where it's at. Like, go meet Bitcoiners, go figure out, like, in your hometown or in your local city, like, where's the Bitcoin meetup? Just go meet them and you'll be like, I have to start studying. And that's, I'll tell you right now, when I first got over to Swan, I was like, maybe I shouldn't be here, maybe I'm not smart. Like, I really was. I was like, I am standing among giants right now, and guys who have literally written the books on Bitcoin, they're there. And
when I had some fear and I couldn't get a hold of you, Alex actually stepped in one time and he says, when you understand trust or verify, don't trust, verify.
Yeah.
And I looked that up. Then it really came to light for me as far as the security that we have in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And the security that we have in that particular realm, because between cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, they're two different things. They're two different animals. And that's what I try to explain to people when I'm trying to explain Bitcoin, because that's just the way it is. I mean, they have these delusions that Bitcoin is this scam, this pyramid scheme, and someday Satoshi is going to come out.
By people who were ordering murders online, the dark web.
Well, the FUD's pretty amazing out there.
FUD is real.
It is real. And it's noise, right? I mean, a lot of the stuff that was created in terms of cryptocurrencies was created by the deep state to confuse the matter, to wash a lot of money. I mean, Sam Bankman-Fried wasn't washing money for himself. Like, that guy was washing money for some really powerful people.
Yeah, exactly. So do you know much about the blockchain technology as a whole when it comes to other kind of uses for the technology, whether it's NFTs or smart contracts or even, with the NFT kind of style blockchain, like when you put music onto the blockchain, for instance.
You don't really want to do that with Bitcoin. Bitcoin isn't built for doing those things. The block sizes are small for a reason, because really what you're trying to do is just do transactions, right? Like, you're not, you don't need to broadcast that you got a coffee, right? Like, you need to broadcast the fact that you're moving, $100,000 worth of Bitcoin somewhere, or whatever fraction of a Bitcoin. That's what you really want to broadcast to the world. You're not trying to broadcast a song that you think is awesome, or JPEG of a chimp scratching his ass, or that's not what this is for.
I was talking about more. So I mainly operate in the music and music marketing space, and I have this weird feeling that in order to prevent, so I don't know if you pay attention, but they've recently changed the royalty payouts for streaming from 0.003 cents per stream for musicians on per song to 1 whole cent, which is an exponential change that you could just imagine. Like, imagine if the minimum wage went up that much, it's ridiculous. Wow. Right. And so that's basically what they did. What they're doing is the government stepping in and raising the minimum wage on streams. And what I think is going to happen is, in order to prevent, to put a lot of scam protection in, is they're going to turn music into an NFT style thing on the blockchain technology, not necessarily crypto or not necessarily Bitcoin. So I just didn't know if you knew about that, the technology uses over in that space.
You could set up micropayments, and this is an interesting thing with AI, because basically in the future you'll have AI computers paying AI computers for transactions. It's a long subject to get into. Guy Swan does a really good job in explaining this on his podcast, Bitcoin Audible, but you could probably just do a quick Google search of that. and kind of talk to it a little bit, because yeah, at some point you'll be doing microtransactions probably on the Lightning Network for Bitcoin, for exactly these things where there will be like the zaps, like in Bitcoin. There's a couple of different streaming services. Fountain's one of them that's broadcast podcast, and then I'm trying to think of
also Nostr, which is the new protocol for going back and forth with text messages and stuff like that. It's actually a social media built on relays instead of a platform. So I'll get into that with another guest that I have coming on. But you've been really generous with your time, Shane. Thanks, we're gonna let you go because I know that it's late there on the East Coast.
I'm gonna go get my ass beat in the morning on the East Coast.
So we're gonna continue on with the bonus content, and then we're gonna let you go, man. But like I said, I really appreciate you coming on the show, Bruce. Man.
And, Jason, nice to meet you guys, man.
We'll see you.
That was awesome, man.
I think Shane's a really great guy. I think he's got a lot of good information. It would be nice to have him for 2 or 3 hours. That we would have to definitely do something like a Joe Rogan thing earlier in the day to kind of get him going, because he would go. Mm-hmm. You know, he would go a long time. But
But it is 10:30 here on the East Coast. So if it depends on what time he gets up in the morning.
Well, he's got a bunch of little kids and a wife and a homestead.
I know how that goes.
and a life that starts at about, I think, 4:30 in the morning when I start. And
Then he's going to definitely need to get some sleep soon.
Yeah. One thing that I like about Bitcoin that I was going to mention with Shane, but he probably already knows this. He does know this, I'm guessing.
In case he listens to the replay.
Yeah, in case he listens. But if you have Bitcoin and they inflate the dollar away, you can trade that or sell it to another currency and still have your money.
Right. A lot of people play the fiat game with Bitcoin, and that's one of the big FUD things that happens to me when I try to explain or try to get somebody into Bitcoin. And basically what I first do is I tell them, I'm gonna give them a link to a wallet, real simple software wallet. You get in there, it's got a freaking password. It's just like any other freaking app. You know, and then I go like, hey, I'm gonna send you 5 sats, and boom, it's there. And I'm going like, this didn't go through any bank. Didn't go through anything else. No verification. This is yours to keep. It's yours to protect. If you lose it, sorry, I can't help you. And there's no, you know, there's no 800 number to go customer service to Bitcoin. And you have to explain it in a way to people to know that because freedom's scary. Freedom and liberty is scary to a lot of people because they don't know how to handle it. All they know is that their paycheck goes into the bank every Friday or every 2 Fridays by direct deposit, and they hope that it gets there, and they hope that it's safe, and they hope that all these other things that they're used to stay in place. And granted, you know, Bitcoin's the same way. Go away, you know, they turn off the internet. But let me tell you what, if they turn off the internet, we got bigger fucking problems than just Bitcoin going away. We got huge problems. So that situation becomes what they call FUD. And then I have to explain to them and pull them off of the ceiling, like Shane and Alex has had to do plenty of times with me. They go like, oh my God, the fucking, you know, the house sky's is falling. You know? Yeah, you know? And he goes like, yeah, just don't worry about it. This is something that you've got to, and I've told you guys this before. It's something that you go along with. And it's something that you just have to, when I say Alex told me about, you need to verify, not trust. And when you understand that concept, it becomes very easy for you to say, okay, I can do X. And I have an X on how much I'm going to invest. Unless it gets fucking real crazy, that X might change, but I do have an X.
Shit, you sell your house and you move to the Midwest, man, you have a lot more X to put up.
You have a lot more X.
You could buy a few coins. Coins. Because you sell your house for almost $1 million. You can come out here, buy one for $300,000. Now you got $600,000 or more to buy in coin at 60 a piece. You can get like 10 coins, bro. Just sell your fucking house, move out here and get 10 coins. You thought you were a Bitcoin maximalist. Maximize and get 10 whole coins.
You just want to know a guy with 10 coins. That's what you want to know.
No, I'm trying to help you out. That way you could prepare, you can have 10 coins to pass down to your generations, man.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what
sell your fucking house and move.
For me,
that way you can get on the right time zone too. Fuck.
Yeah. for me, Bitcoin means that this is something that my daughter is going to eventually use, because I personally myself, 2030, 2035 will probably start getting some adoption going on, to where, I mean, there's plenty of countries, you know, obscure countries and stuff that have adopted Bitcoin, Ecuador, stuff like that. Some South American countries, they're using it actually as hard currency. There's also some other places you could go and you can find a Bitcoin map where you can find places that do take Bitcoin, and you can exchange Bitcoin back and forth. But that's not my long vision. My long vision is, you know, my house, my wealth and everything have to go and have to be, you know, has to be transferred to an heir. And that heir is my daughter. She's the only one I have left. So I want to make sure that whatever she gets is worth something. Now, if I die here in California and I leave her this house, she's fucked. Because
yeah, because it's in California.
She's in California, right? Here. So the only thing that I've got really for her is what I've got in my retirement savings, which is substantial, and Bitcoin. But by far, I think the Bitcoin and even my precious metals are far worth more than anything that I have in fiat, say my 401k, say my Roth IRA, say my house, whatever the case may be. I mean, I think I really believe that totally. I mean, and that might be the dogma, that might be the, you know, stuff like that, but that's where I'm at with this type of situation. So that's,
and speaking of that, one thing that I like about, I don't know if Coinbase has it or not, but I know Binance does, is that you can set up auto payment or to auto buy, like
Cash App has that too.
Yeah, you can set up like every month to spend $10 on whatever you want. I mean, if Cash App has that, I mean, cool.
Yeah, I do that with Swan. So I've got an account with Swan. It's got an auto thing. I don't even touch it. It comes out of my bank account, goes into Swan. Every time I get, I think it's 0.01 of Bitcoin accumulated, it dumps into my cold wallet. I check the cold wallet every once in a while. It's in there. All I care about.
Nice. And
it's in my safe. If I can verify it, I can put in my code, actually I got 12 words. I put in the 12 words, go check it. Boom. It's there on the blockchain.
Is one of the 12 words old man?
Who knows about it? Because, you know, because the fucking government knows, because you have to give, because Swan is an exchange. Swan is a financial institution. They handle people's money. They have to be, you know, they're regulated by the same regulations that the central banks and your bank and everybody else is approached to. They have to do that because they're beholden by those laws. So which means that if a bank comes in and says, hey, Bruce is buying fucking Swan or Bitcoin from Swan, and he's been fucking selling drugs fucking to some place in fucking Caribbean somewhere, we want to seize all his assets, they have to do that. So they can seize my Bitcoin assets from Swan in a fucking second. They're not their protectors. You are the protector of your Bitcoin. You are the protector of those assets. You have the power to withdraw your Bitcoin from the exchanges whenever you want and however much that you want, and put it into cold storage, put it in your safe. And if they come looking for it, I fucking lost it in the fucking lake and you ain't getting it. And they can't prove that you got it because it's on the ledger and everything, but it's in my wallet. Now, I don't know where my fucking wallet is. I went fishing the other day, and if, you know, I must have used it as a lure. Lost in a boating accident. So, I mean, that's where we're at with that. When I said that your liberty and your freedom is built on your ability to be able to handle your own shit. And that's what it is.
So you put it onto your cold wallet,
mm-hmm.
and then you have your 12 words, but then don't you also have like this long string of like numbers and stuff like that as well?
No. Actually, to tell you the truth, you can go look this up. The 12 words are actually those strings of code.
Okay. So you have these 12 words. So
yeah.
So if you have like he was saying, a piece of titanium or whatever, right? Yep. You have it stamped into there, and you have that in your safe.
Yep.
And then, so then they raid your house or whatever. You're like, I don't know where it is, and they check your safe. They're like, oh, what was these 12 words? And you're like, oh, that's my mantra for morning meditation or whatever. Well, then they just go, oh, okay, cool. And then they're like, well, let me go meditate real quick. And then they go to their computer real quick, type in those 12 words, and then they transfer all your shit to theirs.
And here's the beauty of that. My titanium plates came in three parts.
Okay, what if they find all three words
in the three parts?
Right, but what if let's just say they find all three?
They can't find all three.
What?
It would have to be a fucking
waterboard you and have a gun to your daughter's head right in front of you or something, and that you give them all three plates. Okay, then they can go.
Then they could.
Hopefully that never happens. Well, you can get waterboarded, but don't put a gun to your daughter's head, right? Okay, I don't want that.
They would never find those three plates. My 12 words are not together anywhere.
So one's in your safe, one's in the tank of your toilet, and then the other one is in your sock drawer underneath that really stiff one, right? You know what you're saying?
You got it, baby.
See?
That one stiff sock.
The really stiff one, yeah.
Yeah, it's in my stiffy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I get the technology portion of it, but like I was telling him, you know, there's a lot of people like myself who are just trying to eat telling me, oh, just put this away and don't touch it. It's like, motherfucker, I need to make more. Telling me to put some away and not touch when I need more to spend on improving my life? You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily like going out to the club and shit like that. I ain't about that. Yeah. What I'm talking about is, you know, getting ahead on my bills instead of being behind. You know, fixing up some shit in my house is broken that's, you know, needs to get fixed. You know, when I need to repair my fucking car or, you know, prepare for my future and stuff like that. Yeah, I can put it into the savings for my retirement. But what I'm talking about, you know, whenever I want to open up my next business, you know what I'm saying? When I, you know, save to open up this or that or whatever, you know, what the usability is what people like me are like, I need that day-to-day usability and I need to see that growth in my usability.
I think you summarized it good under the fact that it's like, don't buy what you can't spend money on.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not ready, you're not ready. However, with that said, the first viability of Bitcoin is going to be able to borrow against it. So those of us that have an accumulation of Bitcoin that has a certain amount of worth, eventually you will be able to borrow against it, kind of like what the hell am I talking about? I'm talking about that kind of like your be your own bank thing, right?
Oh, the infinite banking thing.
There's a system out there called be your own bank where you know, do shit with your house and blah blah blah, all this
refinancing.
Yeah, and Bitcoin is kind of the same way. You're going to be able to borrow against your Bitcoin and then pay yourself back with that same interest back into Bitcoin. You know, and it's a complicated situation because I don't really understand it myself, but that is kind of going to be one of the first adoptions with Bitcoin. Even though that you can go buy stuff right now, I've got a map thing that you can download. It says
outside of a really small town, right? Yeah. It has this like a fire station. I don't even have a police station, right? Yeah. And it there's like a little corner store, the only corner store in town, and it's got a sign that says that they use that you can buy stuff with Bitcoin or whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, at the grocery store you can transact and they have like a Bitcoin ATM thing or whatever, right?
Right.
There, you
know? Right. We have Bitcoin ATMs here. We
like that. Yeah. I've seen those around here.
You go to a place and go buy Bitcoin with donuts. There's no way. Jack Spirico, and I talk about Jack Spirico a lot. He's got a membership website. And a guy paid him years ago, like back in 2010 or 11 or something like that. At that time, his website cost $55 or something like that, whatever. Two Bitcoin was like $55 back then.
Right.
He paid Spirico in two Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. What do you think Spirico is feeling right now?
I mean, yeah.
He's going like, yeah.
If he still has it, yeah.
No, he does have it. He doesn't use his Bitcoin. His Bitcoin's for his grandkid. The point that I'm trying to make is that I don't think it's going to matter no matter how much Bitcoin you have. If you have some, you have more than almost 90% of everybody out there. Me at being you saw how much Bitcoin I have. I'm probably in the 0.05% of people who own that much Bitcoin.
Right, but like it's supposed to get to a point where it is currency.
That is correct.
And it's transacted for every type of purchase, paying phone bill, paying this, you buying food, whatever. So it has to be doing that. So now it has to have that usability, but it also has to have the stability. Even if it only goes down 5,000 in a day, it still went down by, like 1 or 2%. Now my money's worth 1 or 2% less yesterday. Tomorrow could be worth 5% more. I don't know.
How much is your dollar worth now than it was?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. That can't change while I'm sleeping by 5%.
Did 1929.
The fucking tree could fall on my house in the front yard too. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's all that kind of stuff. But the thing is, if I get paid $20 an hour, right? Minimum wage in California, a decent wage out here, right? And if I get paid $20 an hour, I know that for X amount of hours, once I get up to $600 or $700, sorry, once I get up to $700, I can pay my mortgage after that many hours, right? Because my mortgage is only $700 because I live in the real world, not the crazy fucking world where you live over there in California. So if I am working for, the equivalent of $20 worth of Bitcoin every hour, by the time I get to the end of the month to go pay my shit, if it's worth, instead of $700 for that X amount of time or whatever, if it's worth only $650, I'm short still.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like the usability feature of it with the volatility like that, that's not like, oh, the gas just went up from $350 to $375 overnight. It's not like that. You know what I'm saying? My money is actually less now.
I totally understand where you're coming from, man. I totally understand
what you're coming from. I get what you're saying too. And that's why I will I'll set up monthly to maybe put $5 in. It's a small amount
as a savings, right? And like I said, I see it as a savings,
but you just go, and just don't care about it,
And having it as a savings is like, okay, don't care about it. You're going to use it at some point.
At some point, yes. I mean, if the dollar crashes,
it's still not certain that whether you're going to use that in a fiat environment or if you're going to use that in a Bitcoin environment, because by the time what I'm hoping is by the time my daughter uses the Bitcoin, she uses it in a Bitcoin environment. That means the whole fucking system is fucking crashed.
Right, and it's
just a freaking.
But what if it crashes in 3 years? If the fiat shit crashes in 3 years, you, Bruce, are using your fiat, because you're gonna be here in 3 years. Don't be fucking dying in 3 years, right? But so you're gonna be here, right? So then you're going to have to use it, right? Yeah. And so now it's not one of those put it away and don't ever use it. No, it is a currency. It's just like buying. It's like buying. It's like with your 401k. Your 401k. You're not putting money into GE to never touch it. You're putting it in there to make money so that you can store your wealth from today for tomorrow's use. So the whole put it in and never touch it. No. Put it in and I'm gonna fucking touch that shit. That's my whenever I stop working, I can still live money type of shit. Or if something fucking happens, I get in a car wreck or my fucking back breaks randomly when I'm sleeping or something like that. You know what I'm saying? I become disabled. I need to use that. And if I'm putting money into that today and then it goes down by half in 5 fucking years, you know what I'm saying? Yes, stocks could do that too. But it's just
I've seen my 401k where it scared the fuck out of me the morning after, dude. And I went like, where the fuck did my money go, dude?
2008.
A couple of times since 2008, it's going down.
I remember I got out of the army. I got out of the army October 1st, 2008. Right, best time in the world to become unemployed voluntarily. Right, and so, but anyway, I knew that my grandma and my uncle had had a mutual fund set up for me that they. Cause so I grew up with my grandparents from first grade to ninth grade, and they took the child support that my dad and my mom had to pay them. Long story, but anyway, they took the child support and they put it into a mutual fund. Right. And it wasn't really, that much. Cause they just did it like here and there and stuff like that. But they started a mutual fund. It's basically supposed to be something for whenever whenever I turned 21 for helping me get on my feet. Well, I just got all out of the army. I need to get on my feet. Well, the shit had just crashed and it only had $1,200 in it. Right. And so, and it according to my uncle, it had more than that at one point. Not, you know, it wasn't millions of dollars, but you know, it was a few grand, right? And he was like, well, you know, and so it's just, I don't know. Like, here's what I deal with.
I have a savings account that I have to have through my bank, Wells Fargo, to keep my free checking. Okay. I got a lot of money in there. I get 0.001% interest on that.
Right.
It's like fucking nothing, dude.
Yeah. So when you look at 3-5%,
when you look at it like that and you see, oh, this is my interest that I've earned in the last, couple of months or weeks or years or whatever that they give it to me. And then knowing that they take that same money and they lend it out to people at
fraction reserve
at one time, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 17, 24% interest, depending on what kind of loan they take out, you feel kind of fucked.
Right.
I take that same money and I've got a pretty good nest egg in a 401k.
Right.
And I look at the fucking volatility of that as looking at number one, I do get some matching from my employer, but I look at what I put in to what I have in actual the profit and the investment. That's the scary part that goes up and down.
Right. But
that's the scary part. And I look at
going into a Bitcoin society, right? If you get to a situation, right? If you transfer, like, let's say I want to transfer to Bitcoin, right? And just operate only in Bitcoin, right? And, and work in it, right? I get paid in it. I fucking buy everything in it, whatever, right? I got, that debit card or whatever that automatically transacts it so I can buy it at fiat shit or whatever. But I live in Bitcoin. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
You live in Bitcoin, but you still operate in a fiat society.
Okay. So I'm sitting over here, building websites for people, doing whatever, being marketing or whatever for Bitcoin or something like that. That kind of sparked an idea in my head. But anyway, doing stuff like that. So then, if price goes up and down by 15% over the course of a week, now I'm sitting here in a situation with my money being in a weird space, a lot more volatile than things are right now.
The problem is you're getting a call from Bruce going like, dude, I know that Bitcoin is down to fucking 15,000 or something like that. Hey, I'll buy your fucking interest in Bitcoin right now, dude. I'll make you whole. And then I get your Bitcoin and then you just whatever, because that's who I am.
Right. No, I get that. But I know it's new and the fear of new and the fear of uncertainty that is always there. Right. I'm not going to say I don't have that. Right. But the thing I live in a situation right now where I can live and work on the fucking blockchain.
Yeah.
And okay. So then if I do that, And it does drop down to just 40.
Yeah.
Well, I just made all this money at 60 for the week or for the month or for whatever, for this contract. Yeah. I just made it all at 60 and then dropped down to 40. Yeah. Now I got 10, 20% less.
I think there's some room where you need to investigate on your own, because, you know,
you do that.
So, you know, educate yourself, read the white paper, number one, and then go
that's racist. I don't read anything that's only
education.
White.
Okay, read the black paper.
But yeah, anyway. I'll read the black paper, the paper of color. Okay, Bruce, but come on, fucking right, shit.
But read the right Wonder Bread paper.
Yeah,
but know that right now that Bitcoin is the realm of being in a fiat environment that's struggling to find its way to the adoption of being an actual hard currency. And when we're talking about hard currency, we're talking about those currencies that are backed in gold, silver, stuff like that. Same type of situation. There are still economies, and there still are currencies and stuff that are still backed in that. And if you look at the volatility of those, they kind of mirror what's going on with Bitcoin. However, the situation is that we will not be when Bitcoin is adopted as a hard currency to be traded and traded like a legal tender. It won't be through the network of Bitcoin. It'll be through the network of a second layer or even a third layer on top of that. What we have now is called Lightning Network.
So that volatility will be gone, is what you're saying. Yeah,
huh? I'm sorry?
So that volatility will be gone, because the volatility isn't in the Bitcoin. The volatility is in the conversion to the crypto, to the fiat.
Right. Okay. But the Lightning Network is, see, right now, if I was to send you some Bitcoin through the Bitcoin network, it would cost me a lot of freaking Bitcoin to send it to you. Mm-hmm. But if I do it on the Lightning Network, which is a layer on top of Bitcoin, it'll cost me, you know, 1,000 times less to send you that Bitcoin. Why? I don't know. I don't know the fucking technology. Mm-hmm. But they keep building these layers of technology on top of the Bitcoin network and on top of their on top of that blockchain technology to be able to make these transactions faster, cheaper, and more efficient. And when you talk about faster, more efficient, and stuff like that, now you're talking about your volatility becomes not so volatile. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's why I'm saying that I don't think that I'll ever use Bitcoin. Will I ever need to use Bitcoin? I don't know. If I have to, I will. It's one of those situations. But
right, but you're 105. I'm only 37. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to need to use Bitcoin if it gets adopted in the next 5 years.
I think you're going to be in that situation where 20 years down the road, you're going to be going like, yeah, should have.
No, I think within 5 years, we're all going to be on a crypto of some kind. I don't think it's going to be this.
I think we're going to be on a CBDC. We're going to,
yeah, like you said, 5 years.
You're going to be on a quote crypto, mm-hmm. and it's going to be controlled. Mm-hmm. It's going to be controlled, put it that way.
Right now,
Bitcoin doesn't have any control other than the governments that want to ban it or make regulations. There's always going to be kind of some regulatory outfit that wants to do this.
Yeah, but how can they control something that's not controllable? That's what I don't get. How can they ban Bitcoin when Bitcoin is supposed to be the ultimate thing of freedom and unbettable?
That's the strength. That's the strength of Bitcoin. So how can they do that? They will have to find some type of way. How are they going to be able to do that? How are they going to grab every gun out of every household in the U.S.?
But they're already banning it in some places, yeah?
How are they going to answer that question? How are they going to grab every gun in the U.S.?
We're going to have to go door to door. But so exactly. how do they ban Bitcoin in whole countries then?
They do.
Yeah, how? How? If it's like a gun in everybody's household, how are they doing it? Like they're doing it today. Like
cold storage. They can ban your buying it.
Uh-huh.
Right? Okay. They cannot ban you. If you already have Bitcoin in those countries, you have Bitcoin. They haven't banned anything else other than
they either ban
you can't mine it or you can't buy it, or there's no exchanges for you to do it. But if you have Bitcoin already, you have it.
So instead of banning it, they just lock you out of their fucking their shit and say, hey, if you got, you know, no, you know, whites only, right? They just do that. With, they say, you know, fiat only, right?
Yeah, I'm not racist like that, but yeah, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, instead of saying whites only in here, they say, hey, it's fiat only in here. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what? Your fears are fucking valid, dude. I understand your fears. I had the same fears. I still have the same fears. What happens? I'm buying at a fucking 66 now and all that shit. What happens is it goes down to 20. My mentality has always been, and it's still in the stock market. What he said a little bit ago definitely hit me.
He said that, you know, the biggest thing is that everybody alive right now has lived their whole life in the fiat. So now that it's something new and different and strange and all that stuff, people are like, I don't know. It's like, well, it's because you've never known anything different than one thing, you know?
I've grown up all my life drinking fucking cow milk, and now my wife wants me to drink fucking almond milk, and I keep asking her where the fucking nipples are at.
And we've talked about this. It has nipples, man. You just gotta caress them. Yeah, caress them. Just like the coconuts, man. They look like a big old areola. That's how they get the milk out. They squeeze that areola, man, right there. That's how they do it. That's how they do it 100%. I think we were talking about this. What day was that? Like Tuesday or something? No, Wednesday. We were talking about it on the Morning View. When I was talking about the shit going on in the music industry with the raising of that. You know, Shane didn't know much about the technology portion of it when it comes to that kind of usage, which is perfectly fine. That's why I said I wasn't trying to do a gotcha question. I was just wondering, do you have knowledge of this? And he basically said no. Okay, cool. No. But I think that they're gonna. Like his when he was talking about the transaction portion, yeah, I get that. You've talked to me about Noster, Bruce, but I think so. Right now, when you upload a song through a distributor, it encodes the wave into it puts a code into it, and then that code is detected everywhere upon the internet anytime that song is put out, right? Yep. And they already have that in right now, and I think what they're going to do in order to strengthen that is use the blockchain technology to make that code stronger and make that code easier to be seen. Because right now, you know, it'll be their
verify to their trust.
Exactly.
So my answer to that would be they can restrict their form of blockchain. A blockchain is nothing but a fucking Excel spreadsheet, dude. Mm-hmm. That's all a blockchain is. To put it in simple terms, anybody can create a blockchain. Anybody. You know the code. You know how to fucking do it. You can create a blockchain. So it's going to be that entrepreneur that gets together the music business that creates the blockchain for independent artists to be able to use their own metadata to enter their own code into their stuff and be able to be on a network such as Noster or whatever comes in the fucking future of protocols, and to be able to embed their own code into their own blockchain and make their own worth of their music through that protocol. And it's going to take balls from somebody to be able to do that. I mean, Jack Spirico said it great. He loves Waze. I don't know. Have you used Waze? You know what Waze is.
The maps.
Yeah, the maps. Mm-mm. He says somebody needs to take Waze and be able to make it to where you can pay somebody that saved your ass as you're going fucking 110 down a fucking, you know, highway.
Where
there's a fucking cop there. Yep. And this guy notifies you, hey, there's a cop up ahead, blah, 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 boom. And there should be a way.
Google Maps already does that, though. You can put a fucking speed trap on Google Maps and it'll tell you.
But you can't pay anybody for that information.
Well, yeah, no, I'm saying, like, what's the difference between Google Map and Waze when it comes to that? They do the same thing.
But what I'm saying is they haven't hooked up a situation where you can pay the individual that did that first, who made that song first, follow me. Made that song first and said, hey, I listened to that song. Do you like that song? Boom. Here, I'll give you a buck. Bam. Give you a buck. Bam. All right. On the blockchain. This is all on the blockchain. So we need that individual. We need that entrepreneur that's able to take that technology, copy whatever without anybody's rights or anything like that, and create these tools that are, enable the technology to go forward, whether it be in Dogecoin or fucking Bruce coin or Jackoff coin or whatever the fuck it is, dude. I mean, there's got to be a work in it somewhere, right? But if you embed, your own code, your own metadata in that blockchain, that is protected. That is the copyright protected.
Yeah. And yeah, that's the thing about smart contracts too. Yeah, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you got smart contracts and stuff like that. So it's a very, so it's one of those things that you've got to think about very carefully. And somebody's got to find out the worth of that. Some entrepreneurs got to take that and go forward with it. And they haven't yet, but they're trying. There's a bunch of people out there trying. Mm-hmm. A lot of scammers out there fucking trying to do the same fucking thing. So you got to be fucking careful, man. So, you know, that's the whole thing. But if you really freaking, you know, wanted to do something like that, there's opportunity out there to do that. And there's opportunity to build because the blockchain technology is so fucking young. Mm-hmm. And it's so available. It's all open source freaking software, all that stuff, dude. And all this stuff, when I fool with open source software, there's checks and balances to be made as you're using those programs, especially when you download. You got to check, make mm-hmm. sure that this came from this fucking guy. And there's a way that you can check that. And if these two fucking codes don't fucking work out, you don't want that shit, dude. You can't trust that. Right. But you get that where those two codes match, boom, there's the first rung. Then you go and you check the hash. If those two hashes go, boom, you're in. Then you go like, okay, two out of three or two, you know, pass, boom, we're in. Now we can start working. And that's the thing. I don't understand it. All I know is that I understand as much to know that there's a safe way to do it. Mm-hmm. And it has to be somebody who's motivated enough to go ahead and think that there's work to it to do it. That is my
right. Makes kind sense.
Of final word on that. I mean, you know, like I
yeah,
said,
I see the majors having the most motivation to do that right now.
Absolutely, they have the most motivation to do it, and they're going to be the first ones to do that. But they're artists.
And I see it coming very soon, like within the next year.
Fucking artists and stuff are going to be fucking stuck under their fucking thumb.
Exactly.
And it's going to take the independent person like you to get somebody you fucking trust and say, hey, oh, you know this shit, you know, and go like, hey, this is what I've got. And this is what I think, you know, and, you know, you might have to do the Zuckerberg fucking thing and fucking stab somebody in the back to fucking get what you want, because that's the way it happened, you know. But what I'm saying
is that he sold his soul to the CIA through Inkutel. What are you talking about?
That's how fucking business happens. What I'm saying is that you need to find that freaking network of people if that's truly what you want to fucking protect and want to pursue. That's something that is very much in reality.
Yeah, and I just see it getting ready to come.
Oh yeah,
from the majors.
Oh yeah,
and from this new distribution deal.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here. I'm like, okay, how can I survive and thrive?
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I'm looking at with many different ways.
It's a fucking challenge those motherfuckers, dude. Challenge them with your own shit if you can. I mean, basically, either challenge them or you fucking accept it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of fucking accepting it, dude. And every fucking penny that I can fucking scrape up and fucking that I don't fucking hurt my family or my living with it or anything like that, I put away. Mm-hmm. And that's either, and that doesn't mean that I just put it away in Bitcoin. I put it away in other things, dude. I put it away with you know, my bullets and my supplies and, you know, all my stuff, dude. Every spare penny that I have go into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this vacation that I'm taking out to fucking Minnesota is a rarity, dude.
Yeah.
This is a rarity. This is something that I'm just going like, I got to do this. I just want to meet you guys. I just want to go out there, but it's a fucking rarity. I don't do that shit.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, when I go on vacation, it's fucking 20 miles away to the fucking beach, or we're fucking camping up on top of the mountain 10 miles away or whatever.
What's a vacation?
I don't go fucking nowhere, dude. Yeah, it's basically a vacation, and my vacation is basically a freaking day or two. So, I mean, yeah, we're all in the same fucking boat, dude. It's just some of us, you know, it's goals, dude. It's goals.
So, Bruce, when you do come up and we go to this show, like I was saying earlier, we should really introduce ourselves as all musicians. because you play the guitar.
Yeah,
well, he plays everything. Marcos is the Marcos is the Wonder Bread Busta Rhymes, and I play the skin flute.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you definitely do, man. We're all musicians in our own way. We have our own instruments.
We all are, dude.
And I think I'm going to try to sell my idea that I had earlier. Also, I was texting you guys about
that
horn industry is really missing out on the opportunity to capitalize on the whole Voltron thing. Because remember that the Black Tiger always said, and I'm going to form the head. Well, you can do a Porntron thing where the guy's like, and I'm going to form the head. I mean, you could totally do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, you should pitch that to Ron Jeremy. Exactly. Just pitch it to Ron Jeremy. He'll get behind you, literally.
I got a
program. I don't want him behind me. Just like I don't want Alec Baldwin behind me either.
Yeah.
I got to post this stuff up, guys, man. It's been good. Been a good show.
All right. All right. Well, that's it for the bonus content. You'll have fun with your bonerous.
I'll see you guys back bright and early in the morning.
All right. All right. Yeah. Morning drive
with Snowmageddon.